Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, church family. Can you hear me? Good morning. Good morning, church family. Welcome to Forest Lake Church. If you're watching online, we are happy that you are joining us. We are right now right in the middle of a series called Come to Your Senses. We started 3 weeks ago. And Pastor Matt and I have been preaching this series together. I've been preaching mostly in warehouse, and we've been switching back and on. And today, specifically, I'm excited for this sermon. It's a little heart of a topic, so bear with me. But I'm excited for today's sermon. The first week, if you were not here, we talked about how God wants us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants us to be able to taste the sweetness of his goodness. And here's the thing. This series is all about how he wants us to use our five senses to be able to connect with him, right? So then the second week, we learned about how God wants us to be able to touch the goodness of God here on earth. And Pastor Matt did a wonderful job of leading us through what it means and what we can do here on earth to be able to touch the goodness of God today. And now I have the task of telling you how God wants to use smell for you to connect with him. A little weird, right? Like, how can you smell the goodness of God? We're going to talk about that. But before, can you bow your heads with me for prayer? Father, thank you for your presence in this place and for your love in our lives. Thank you because today we get to open your word, and we pray that you help us be able to connect with you. You help us to be able to learn more about you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit helps us be able to learn more about you through your word. We pray that every day we look more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Before I was a pastor, before I even had dreams of being a pastor, before I even came to the Adventist church, as a matter of fact, I had a very important job on this earth. I work for a company that is actually across the street from us. I work for a company that many people cannot survive without. It was not a hospital. Starbucks. I used to work for Starbucks for nearly a decade. And I like to think that I was special. Because most Starbucks employees, they have to wear an apron. And what color is that apron? Green. You all have been to Starbucks, huh? Most employees, they wear a green apron. But every now and then, if you've been to Starbucks enough, every now and then, it's very rare to see one out in the wild. But every now and then, you'll be able to spot the black apron employee out in the wild. There's only a handful of them. I was one of them. I was special. I would know. For them to have a black apron, for me to have a black apron, they had to go through an extensive training. They had to go to an academy to be able to become something that they call coffee masters. I'm a coffee master. I know. Although I no longer drink coffee, really. But back then, I was a coffee master. What does that mean? Well, it means a couple things. It means that I know a lot about coffee. More than I need to know about coffee. But it also means that I have a special skill of doing this. This is coffee beans. It's not actual coffee for me to drink. It's coffee beans. You can hear it. I have this skill that I'm able to open coffee and go like this. And just from that, I'm able to tell you that this coffee was probably grown somewhere in Latin America for sure, somewhere central Latin America, so probably Guatemala, Mexico maybe, although I think it's more Guatemala, El Salvador maybe. Just from smelling the coffee. And I will be able to also tell you that this coffee was probably grown in a place that happens to be nearby a plantation of cacao. And also, Somehow I get the scent that this coffee was also near plantation of some type of nuts, maybe hazelnut, almonds, I don't know, but I get a little sniff of a hint of nuts as well in this coffee. And I can do all that by just smelling it. If I was smelling a coffee from Asia Pacific, I could tell you that coffee is going to be more of a spicy coffee, in the sense of, like, I will be able to feel this scent of sometimes cinnamon, sometimes nutmeg almost in the coffee. Not because somebody put cinnamon or nutmeg, but because, again, the ground that coffee was grown, it absorbs the property of that ground. If I'm looking at anywhere over Africa, most coffees in Africa, I can tell you, they're very floral. They smell very floral. Some of them smell extremely citric because of oranges and lemons and things growing next to it. All of that by smell. And all of that because coffee has the amazing property of being able to absorb the properties of the floor around it. Smell is, in my opinion, one of the best senses out of the five. Because smell is able to bring you back to memories that you didn't even know that you had in the back of your mind. Smell is even able to allow you to taste. Has that ever happened to you? You smell something and you can taste it, but you have not tasted it. Just the smell. Smell is amazing. When I was a child, I remember being in church, and I remember there was this sweet old lady that for some reason she loved me like I was her own grandkid. And every weekend she would come and give me the biggest hug, and she would talk to me, and she would buy me toys, and she would always like sneak in like a dollar bill without my parents knowing so that I had a dollar to go buy candy. And she was the sweetest old lady, and she would invite my family over for lunch, and I remember her. As a matter of fact, I loved her so much too that I would call her grandma. She was like my grandma. I spent more time with her than with my own grandparents because they lived really far away. So for me, she was my grandma. And I can tell you today that I remember her face. There's times, I don't know if this happens to you, but there's times that where like faces kind of like blur when I haven't seen someone in a long time and I try to think about their facial expressions. They kind of like, I don't know, it's hard to imagine them. I remember her face pretty well. Sometimes it's a little blurry, but I remember. You know what I don't remember? I don't remember her hugs, what it felt like to be hugged by her. I don't remember her voice at all. I don't know what she sounded like. I like to imagine how she sounded like, but I don't really remember how she sounded like. You know what I definitely do remember? The other day I was walking down the mall, I entered a Macy's, and as I passed through the colognes, somebody went, and as soon as I smelled that cologne, I was like, Abuela Hilda. It was her smell. It was her scent. I was transported to the time when I was a kid running in her house. Automatically, just because of the smell. How many of you have done this? You are outside. You have no idea what restaurants are near you. But you go, smells like burgers. Did you see the burger place? No. Did you taste the burgers? Nope. How do you know there's burgers? It's a smell. Smell is amazing. God created the sense of smell to be one of the most amazing things that us humans can experience because he wants us to connect with him through it. So today, we're going to take a journey. We're going to travel in time. I'm going to take you thousands of years to the book of Leviticus, and we're going to see that in the book of Leviticus, God gave the people of Israel a command to build a place of worship. And when they built this place of worship, it did not look like this church at all. At all. As a matter of fact, it was a tent. Let's begin there. It's not a building. It was a tent because they did not have a place that they could call home yet. So they had to be traveling around in the desert and everywhere. And everywhere they went, here they are with their tent and their tabernacle and their thing. And they let's set it up and like this whole thing. But second of all, It was not clean. If you have been a Seventh-day Adventist all your life, it's easy for you to overlook the fact that the tabernacle is not a clean place. Let me paint a picture for you. The tabernacle is divided in three main areas. The first main area is called the courtyard. And this courtyard is massive. It's an outdoor place, as you can see here. And in the middle of that courtyard, there is a big altar of sacrifice. This thing is massive, and it's made out of bronze. And what happens in there? Well, they put burning coals in there, and they bring animals. They slaughter them. They put them there, and they burn them. And the Bible says that every family would do this. Every family in Israel would do this every morning and every night. Just imagine the smell of old blood, burnt hair, burnt skin, for weeks, for months, for years to go. Do you think this was a pleasant smell? Because if you do, you're out of your mind. This is the smell of death. The tabernacle had the smell of death. But here's the beauty of it. The Bible says that the high priest, he would walk into the tabernacle and he would grab the burning coals from the altar of sacrifice. The same burning coals that had been burning hair, skin, blood, they had a stench to them. He would grab these burning coals and he would take them with him inside the meeting tent. And in that tent, he had a smaller altar. The smaller altar was called the altar of incense. And this altar was made out of pure gold. Outside is bronze, but in here, pure gold. And that altar, he would put the burning coals in there, and he would cover them with spices and incense. And when those spices and incense burned, they would overpower the smell of death. The Bible says that God would look down the people of Israel, and he would smell the sweet aroma of the incense that was being burned in his tabernacle. He would not smell the smell of death. He smelled the smell of the sweet incense. David, later on, in the book of Psalm 141, verse 2, he writes a prayer to God, and he says, "Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upright hands as an evening offering." David recognized that the whole point of the altar of incense was to be a symbol of how God not only listens to your prayers. Hear me out. God doesn't just hear your prayers, he smells them. That's a little weird. Because also the Bible says that we do not know how to pray. And that we actually need the Holy Spirit to intercede for us because we don't know how to pray. That's the Bible being nice to us and really telling us that our prayers, your prayers, my prayers, stink. How can they not stink? If you are a sinner, I am a sinner, and the Bible says that the wages of sin are... Therefore, we smell like death. We are the animals that should be being taken to the tabernacle to be slaughtered every morning and every night. And we smell. Have you ever been in a farm long enough to not want to be in a farm? We stink. We stink because of our anger. We stink because of our grief. We stink because of our short temper. We stink because of a million things. We stink because of our hidden sins. We stink. But I have good news for you today. We have a high priest that walks into the tabernacle and grabs the coals, the burning coals of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He grabs those coals and he takes them into the presence of God and he mixes it with the incense so that when they reach the Father doesn't smell our stinkiness. He smells the victory of Jesus Christ. So the main problem that Christians have today is not that we stink. We will always stink. For as long as we're on this earth, we will always smell. Just like a teenage boy that doesn't use deodorant. That's not our problem. You know what our problem is? That our altars are not burning. And if you don't have your altar burning, you're not covering your smell. And here's the thing. You can try to trick the people around you with sheep cologne. But those closest to you, those that spend more than an hour around you, they know what you really smell like. But we believe that by coming to church once a week, we are covered. Sheep cologne. Coming to church once a week does not cover your stench. You all have met Levi. If you have not met Levi, he's my son. He's turning 2 years next week. He is a handful. But he's a lovely boy, and he loves running around. He has a very specific smell. I'm pretty sure that every parent, I'm sure I'm not the only one, every parent recognizes the smell of their kid. And Levi, to me, has a smell like no other kid. Like, he's my kid. I know his smell. And here's the thing. Every now and then, I take him to my mom's house for her to take care of him. And sometimes my mom says, you know, bring him early in the morning and pick him up late in the afternoon so that you guys have the whole day for yourselves. Go and do whatever you got to do. And I'm like, perfect. This is awesome. Amen. And when Melanie and I go back to pick him up, he always runs towards us and I grab him, pick him up, and I give him the biggest hug and I put my face around his neck and I smell him. And he never smells like Levi. Every single time that he spends time in my mom's house and I pick him up, he smells like my mom. And he doesn't smell like my mom because he spent time in her house. He smells like my mom because my mom holds him. Because every single time that he gets a burst of happiness, he runs to her arms and she gives him the biggest of hugs. Because every single time that he's hungry, he runs to my mom and my mom will give him food. Because every single time that he wants to watch TV, he wants to watch TV sitting next to my mom. He likes being with my mom. And the more time he spends with her, the more her scent gets impregnated in his hair, in his clothes, in everything. So when I pick him up, he smells like my mom. And here's the reality of it. When I pick him up and I smell him, automatically it brings happiness to me because it brings memories of me as a kid. And I remember running to my mom's arm. And I remember her cooking for me and I remember her taking care of me and loving me. And I know that smell that Levi has right now is the smell of my mom's love. And she's loving him even more than she loved me. Whatever holds you, you will smell like. You will smell like whatever or whoever holds you the most. When I worked in Starbucks, Melanie and I were dating already. And I remember getting out of work after a long shift and texting her, and she's like, hey, like, come pick me up. Let's go to a park or let's watch a movie or whatever. And I remember, like, okay, well, my house is kind of far. It's the opposite way to her house. I'm going to bring clothes. I'm always going to have clothes in the car, and I'm going to have my perfume there. And I remember getting out of work and in the back room of Starbucks changing and putting my cheap cologne on and going to see Melanie. And I thought that my cheap cologne was covering the smell of coffee. It never did. I was only fooling myself. She could smell the coffee. Her parents could smell the coffee. Everyone could smell the coffee. Nobody ever asked me after a long shift at Starbucks, oh, so what do you do for work? And I smell like coffee on a good day, because on a bad day, I smell like rotten milk. But I thought, whenever I went on a date with Melanie, I was covered with the cheap cologne. Listen, cheap cologne will last you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour at most. But whatever you spend most of your time on, that is the reality of what you will smell. And there's nothing you can do to get rid of that smell other than stop spending time with that thing. Stop spending time with that one. You might be able to trick a couple people, but let me tell you, your family members, they know your real smell. Your coworkers know your real smell. Parents, your kids, they definitely know your real smell. I want to be honest with you. I'll be completely transparent about the smells that I've been experiencing in my house for the past month. Exactly a month ago from today, a series of events have been happening back to back every single week, nonstop. It all started with Melanie and I putting Levi to sleep. He had no symptoms of being sick or anything happening to him. He was completely fine. We put him to sleep. And as usual, after we put him to sleep, we start cleaning and we do the stuff around the house that usually we cannot do with him. So we start doing the stuff. And by the time we actually go to bed, it's 11:30 at night. And we are sitting in our bed when Melanie says, "What's that noise?" And I pay attention and it just sounds like this. I'm like, "What is that?" And I grab the camera, and Levi is sitting in his bed, going like this, without being able to breathe. I run to the room, I grab him, I start hitting him, Melanie checks his mouth, we don't see anything, but he is clearly not being able to breathe well, and we are worried, and his lips are starting to look a little weird, and Melanie says, "Let's rush him to the hospital," and we live really nearby the Winter Park Hospital, so we rush him there, and we get there, and the doctor there, does a couple of testings, and give him a couple of shots, and does a couple of things, and tells us, "Actually, we're going to have to transfer you to the main hospital down in downtown Orlando." They call an ambulance, they transport us to the other hospital, and we spend the whole night there, the whole day there. We actually spent 2 days there with Levi. And thankfully, he was able to recuperate, and he's good now. But during that time, especially when we didn't know what was going on, I was bathing in stress and in anxiety and depression and everything and thoughts of like, what would I do if Levi did not make it that night? Like, what would I do as a dad? Like, and all these things started coming to my mind, and I started bathing on them. Thankfully, he was okay. But then the very next weekend, it's always on the weekend. It's like always preparing for the Sabbath. And the enemy knows what he does. Then the very next weekend, my car breaks down. There goes my savings. But it's okay. We're fine. We're healthy. That's what matters. The very next week, we start this series, Come to Your Senses. And the first sermon was, Taste and See That God Is Good. And Pastor Matt preached here, but while he was preaching here, I was preaching the same sermon in warehouse. I was preaching taste and see that God is good. And throughout the week, I was excited about the sermon. I was preparing myself and reading and praying for the sermon. And then Friday came. And on Friday, Melanie wakes up and she says, I'm not feeling well. I have a lot of pain. I'm not feeling well. And as the day progressed, she says, I think we need to go to the hospital. Okay, we take her to the hospital, and we spend the whole night in the hospital to learn that Friday, my wife had a miscarriage. And when we were sent home, and we enter our house did not smell like the memories that we were already getting ready for. Our house did not smell like the happiness of like, oh, Levi's going to have a sibling soon, and what are we going to name him or her? And our house smelled different. It felt different. The literal stench of death. We put Levi to sleep, and Melanie says, are you still going to preach tomorrow? And I said, I don't know, but let's pray. We sat on our bed together, we held hands, we kissed, and we prayed to God. And our prayer was the ugliest prayer we've ever prayed. It's not a pretty prayer. But Jesus grabbed our prayer and he wrapped his arm around us. And the smell, the sweet aroma of his presence came over that room. The sweet aroma of his presence. Prayers to the feet of our Heavenly Father. And we felt peace. And I cannot explain it to you. But that night, the same night that we lost our little dream, little baby, we felt peace. The next day I came and I proclaimed that in the middle of your darkest valley, the valley of death, you are able to taste and see that the Lord is good. And after that, there's only one thing that I have left in my heart unresolved. Levi is my son. I love him more than anything. But when I'm not around, when he's an adult, what smell will he remember me by? Will he remember me by the smell of grief? Will he remember me by the smell of a distant father that just spent all his time in his phone or his computer? Will he remember me by the stench of my short temper? Will he remember me by depression? Will he remember me by my stress and anxiety? What will he remember me by? And at the end of the day, I don't want to leave him just a comfortable life when I'm not here. I know that's the goal of many parents, that their kids grow up to have a comfortable life. I don't want that. I want to leave him behind an altar. And that he's able to know that in this burning altar, he's able to come, whatever may pass in his life, he's able to come to this place and find peace and find the sweetness of the goodness of God. So when I'm not here, that's the legacy I want to leave him. My question to you today is, what legacy are you leaving your family? What legacy are you leaving your friends with? What legacy are you leaving your coworkers? They can smell you. Do you want them to smell you? Or do you want them to smell the sweet aroma of Jesus? Come to your senses. Church, come to your senses. And allow Jesus to cover you this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our high priest. Thank you because in the valley of death, in the valley of shadow, we can be assured that your love still prevails. And that when you look at us, you don't smell the smell of death or the smell of sin, but that when you look at us, you see the victory of Jesus. You smell his victory in our lives. And Father, today we pray for forgiveness as we have allowed our altars to be cold. But today, we stand up and we pray that you ignite our altars, that we start spending more and more time in your presence, and that your sweet aroma of your peace, your love, and your mercy overpowers our lives to the point where we start smelling like you, and that when we walk into any room, our family members, our friends, people that don't even know us, they automatically are able to realize that we smell like our Heavenly Father. We smell like heaven because we've been spending time with you. So, Father, we pray that you open our eyes and help us realize that there's no sweeter place to be than your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.